This morning we are on part 9 of our little series on the Sermon on the Mount. And it was Jesus Christ being the King, proclaiming the ways of the kingdom and teaching about it. The teachings in this section of Scripture are very deep, and they cause one to pause and really think about how revolutionary, how radical even, Jesus Christ's teachings are when compared with the world, especially today. So if you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 5 once again. Matthew chapter 5. As we progress through this section of Scripture, we are in this section of these statements. They're called antithetical statements, or Jesus Christ will show a difference between one way of thinking and another. And they would start with, "You have heard," or "You have heard that it said." You have heard, again, you have heard. And that starts like each little section for us to look at. So today, in verse 38, "You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, or thy inner garment, your tunic, let him also have thy cloak, thy outer garment. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him that asketh thee, from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. So we're going to look at this section, and we're going to go through it. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth is a pretty common saying. And it was the basis for a lot of early primitive law. When we think of it, we can think of it, eye for an eye. They owe me, tooth for tooth. And it comes from the book of Exodus. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a hand for a hand, a foot for a foot, a burning for a burning, a wound for a wound, and a stripe for a stripe. And you may think, wow, that's pretty powerful. The whole thing about the law, even in the Old Testament, even that which was from Exodus, is it limited retaliation. It limited retaliation, where oftentimes the nature of man is, you do something to me, I'm going to give it back to you in spades, even more. And then that guy says, oh yeah? Well, I'm going to give it back to you even more. And then, oh yeah? Well, I'm going to... You steal my car, I burn your house down. You burn my house down, I kill your son. These are examples that I've read where it just things escalate. And Jesus Christ is teaching this not to make sure that you get your tooth and you get your eye, you get your tooth worth. He's teaching this to show how retaliation it has to stop. The eye for an eye, the tooth for a tooth, the hand for a hand, the foot for a foot, the burning for a burning, and the stripe for the stripe was a maximum that was set in the Old Testament. This was different. That was the absolute maximum. The maximum that someone should have the right to retaliate. In the Old Testament, it wasn't the person themselves that was wrong that would carry out the punishment or exact the penalty. It was the magistrate or the elders. So it wasn't carte blanche. If someone does something to you, I get to do the same thing back to them. And this was a maximum. Jesus Christ is showing a greater standard of goodness, a greater standard of wisdom that puts an end to that, the escalation. And we see it every day in the world. Heck, I see it in my own life sometimes. That boils up, someone's wronged you, I want to get my pound of flesh, I got to get even. You ever hear that? Huh, Liam? I got to get even? Well, this is what Jesus Christ is saying. Well, yeah, you keep doing this, you keep retaliating, and there'll be no peace, and you'll be worse off for it, and the other person will be worse off for it. So the eye for an eye or tooth for tooth isn't carte blanche to make sure you get your even. Jesus Christ says, you may have heard this, right? Now, there is no place that I can see in the Word or historically where they actually poked people's eyes out and broke people's teeth. According to the house of Hillel, it would be a monetary worth. What's it worth if someone lost their eye? What's it going to set them back, or lost a hand or lost a foot? And they would pay a penalty commensurate to the loss. But Jesus Christ says, oh yeah? You have heard that it's been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, they resist not evil. And whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. This is an insult. Smite thee on the cheek is an insult. Doesn't mean you can't defend yourself. There is self-defense. But a smite on the right cheek was an insult. You may have even seen or read about Hamilton and Burr in the Revolutionary times, when the nation was just starting. They would slap each other on the face with their gloves. And if the person who was slapped with the gloves then took his gloves and slapped them back, the duel was on. The duel was on. And you end up with somebody hurt or dead. And quite often would happen. So this isn't totally unique to the Bible. Think about this. If you're going to slap someone on the right cheek, and most people are right-handed, how are you going to slap them? It's going to be a backhand. Right? If you're right-handed and you're going to slap somebody on the right cheek, if you're right-handed, it's an insult. And Jesus says, you get insulted, you get offended, turn the other cheek. That stops it dead in its tracks. You take control at that point. It doesn't go into where the other person has controlled your life. Have you ever heard this statement? He made me. He made me mad. Or he did this. He made me angry. At that point, if you honestly are saying that, then you are saying that other person has taken control of you, if he can make you do anything. And Jesus Christ is teaching. He's teaching about retaliation and the evil of it, and how you can fall into a trap in this. Verse 40, and if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat. Now this word coat, it really means the tunic. It's the part of the clothing that you'd wear next to your body. not underwear, but like this. And then he says, well, take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. That's the outer, like a. And it's, the outer one's much more valuable and usually was carefully interwoven and embroidered and things like that. Where Jesus Christ says, you know, if they want to take away your coat, they think that that'll be enough, give them the outer garment, the much more valuable garment also, to put an end to the retaliation, to put an end to the strife. To you, so we can take control and we're not influenced, forced, quote unquote, into retaliating with evil. Retaliating. This whole section is about retaliation. Verse 41, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. A lot of these cultures where you had one people or nations conquered by someone else, the conquering nation, that would be in this case, would be Rome, they had the right to compel citizens to carry things, carry messages, take their horse, where they had the right to ask you to go a certain distance. In the King James, it says a mile. You can see an example of this in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ can no longer bear the weight of the cross as he's going to Golgotha, what did they? Who got compelled into service? Simon of Cyrene. And they had to do it. It wasn't that Simon was just a really nice guy and he offered it up. He was picked and chosen and compelled, and he had to do it. So Jesus says, if you're compelled to go a mile, go two. Take control of the situation. They had the control for them to request and insist that you go a mile. But you had the control to go the extra mile. Have you ever heard of the phrase, going the extra mile? That's where the you know, the origin of that is this section of Scripture. You have heard, verse 43, now we're getting into another section. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. You have heard that it has been said. Make it clear, he's not saying it is written, because there's nowhere in the Bible that says love your neighbor and hate your enemy. This was an interpretation of the Scripture, oral tradition, that was being taught that it was okay to do that. You see, when you look at the Pharisaical laws, they're always about an angle or finding a loophole to not do the word sometimes. Like when earlier, we looked at forswearing, making an oath, I swear by the temple and or I swear by the altar, or I swear by the gift on the altar, or the gold on the altar. The Pharisees were masters at the legal loopholes that they could actually do a swearing. I swear this, but if they're swearing on this, it's nothing. But if they're swearing on that, then they have to do it. You've ever seen like the old movies where, I can't remember which movie it was, but they were in a courtroom. And you know how they swear in a witness? And the one guy says, the minister says, I brought my own Bible. And he put his hand on the book. And they swear him in, right? That he's going to tell the truth, all that. And he really kind of said, in that movie, he kind of said a fib. Why? He said, oh, this is just a copy of Moby Dick. So he could get away with it. The heart of it is, you know, you're on the stand, you just tell the truth. That doesn't give you the carte blanche to to lie. This was just a copy of Moby Dick. So when it says here, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy, that's what they were saying. People said about the scripture. Verse 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. This is different. This is different. This is that higher standard of goodness and of love and of mercy and of grace and wisdom that Jesus Christ had. What's the wisdom in that? What's the wisdom in loving your enemy? It'll get on here and it'll even say why. See that in verse 44 where it says despitefully use you? It means slander. Have you ever had someone slander you? Yeah. It's painful. Jesus is saying pray for them. Love them. Pray for them that persecute you. Verse 45, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun, S-U-N, his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And he sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Well, that person's not a believer. I can do whatever. Not so. What's God's goal for mankind? That all men would be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. All men. All men. When a Christian walks by this higher standard, and I'm going to be the first one to say, I'm not there yet. I can't say that I do that. I'm trying. I'd like to do that. But I'm not there. I actually was talking to God last night. I was like, God, what right do I have to even teach this section of Scripture? I don't even have it down. And basically, if you wait to have things down, you'll never teach anything. But this is the standard. This is the standard to shoot for. Verse 46, for if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans do the same? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And this means mature in wisdom. Not that we're ever going to be perfect until Christ comes back, and then we will be changed. But when we look at this, Jesus Christ is sharing these things to elevate a standard of love and goodness, to elevate what the law represented. We covered this earlier, but do you remember? All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus Christ bumps up, he elevates, he goes, love your enemies too. And I think about that. When I get behind the wheel of the car, sometimes I turn into a different animal. Now, most of you know me. It would be a slow animal. But it's like, have you ever made a mistake driving? And then you go like this to the person that you accidentally cut off, or you accidentally turned at the wrong place real fast or something. It's like, I thought about this. Do I give other people the same grace that I would want given to me when I screw up? Do I want those who offend me? Do I want that same forgiveness? Or, oh, it's okay, I know you're having a rough day. Would I want that same grace and mercy extended towards me or projected at me that I give to others? Sometimes I would not want what I project to others, because I'm not merciful and I'm not gracious. And I'm not thinking, Liz and I will even say, when someone really goes by us real fast, we'll say, well, must be his wife's having a baby. He's bleeding to death. We say that in jest, but maybe they do have a reason for really trying to get somewhere, right? And maybe someday it'll be us that passes like that, where we would hope that people wouldn't get upset with us and retaliate for our offense. And this is that wisdom that Jesus Christ is teaching. Pray for your enemies. You have heard it said, love your neighbor, but hate your enemies. That's not in the Word. And Jesus Christ is elevating the truth of the law. The truth of it. The beauty of it. If you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans. The publicans were the tax collectors. They were the many times crooked in business dealings. Even those people love their own. And to love an enemy is quite revolutionary. It's revolutionary today. To love the one who insulted you. If someone insults me, then let them insult me more. And don't let me get upset. Don't let me retaliate. I've just elevated it. I put a stop to it. I put a stop to the escalation that comes when everybody, I'll get you, I'll get you back, I'll get you more. You ever heard the old expression, people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones? We all live in glass houses. You know, we all live in glass houses where if we do this and something goes back, and then it just escalates. And Jesus Christ is showing this. This is not exclusive to this section of Scripture. And I'd like to go to a few places in God's Word that also covers this topic. So if you would join me, the first place we're going to go is in Leviticus. Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. If you go to Numbers, you've gone too far. Leviticus 19. So this is in the Old Testament. Leviticus 19, verse 16. Leviticus 19, verse 16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Gossiper. Slanderer. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Have you ever known somebody to keep a grudge? Could it be us? Could it be ourselves? That's Old Testament. Jesus elevates this, not just to thy neighbor, or in this case, it would be one of the children of Israel. 1 Thessalonians next. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow, pursue, hunt down that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Render not evil for evil. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 9, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, slander for slander, but contrariwise, blessing, render blessings, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that speak no guile. Let him eschew, or just abhor, reject evil, and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. That's that word, hunt down, where you pursue after peace. Jesus Christ was teaching that. He was teaching the evil of escalating retaliation. And we wouldn't be representing our Father, which is in heaven, by doing that. Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 12. Verse 17. Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible. As much as it lies in you, live peaceable with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. God bless you. When we retaliate with evil, we are just a part of the problem. When we see an enemy or someone who's been offensive to you, if he's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. That's so contrary to the world. You want, in the world sometimes you say, well, they need to get their comeuppance. That person needs that. But this is what Jesus Christ is teaching here. He's teaching a higher standard. He's teaching about retaliation and the evils of retaliating and going beyond. And then back and forth, back and forth. He's teaching about not doing things that would offend people, that would allow for things harboring in their heart evil towards someone. He even talks in verse back in chapter 5 there about borrowing. You know, don't turn people away when it's, you know, within your power to bless them. what happens when someone really needs something and you have the ability to help them and you turn them away. And there's some wisdom involved with that too. Then that person who was turned away now harbors animosity towards, and then there's retaliation. It's quite something. But Jesus says, love thy neighbor and hate. He says, thou shalt love thy neighbor and not hate your enemy, as the interpretation. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. And he definitely contradicts that, makes a contrary statement. And when we look at the whole of this teaching, sometimes it's very confronting. I know when I was really working this stuff, it was just like confronting as all get out. But it's good. It's good to be confronted. And it's good to grow. And it's good to see what it is supposed to be. And to walk according to the proclamation of the kingdom by the king himself. What better teacher? And you can just imagine when he's teaching this kind of stuff that really confronts people right to the heart. When they said, he doesn't teach like the scribes. He teaches as one with authority. And they were amazed at his doctrine and his teaching. And when you look at the wisdom, albeit kind of radical, according to common thought of the world, or differing, what wisdom that is. What priceless sharing, what priceless insight into that wisdom that he shared with us in this Sermon on the Mount. Okay? Amen? Amen.